This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, thank you for joining us, wherever in the world you are. My name is Richard Keys. This is...
Pardon me, sorry, Keezy. I nearly choked there. My name is Andrew Mullingray.
Right, well, let's stay with it. It's
yes.
An interesting and different way to go.
Yes.
It is the case. I am delighted to report that our audience continues to grow.
Excellent.
So we do appreciate all of you at different times, as I said, wherever in the world you are listening to us. Now that you've found us, tell your mates... And that process will
anyone
continue.
Say nice things about us? No, yeah,
plenty of nice things, Andy, the fact that we are growing organically.
Oh.
We're not sponsored by anybody in particular, although that might be about to change in
the
coming
weeks.
And there is the proof.
Yes.
That we are getting more, not just listenable, but more listeners. Maybe both are
like
true. Anyway, over the coming weeks, we'll be letting you know how you can support the podcast and the team as it is growing into the team that puts all of this together. There are plenty of episodes to look back on.
Oh,
dozens,
more
with some really
dozens.
Big names. Gianfranco, Martin O'Neill, Joey
you
Barton,
name them.
I don't
you
know, Liam
them.
Brady, you
yes.
name them.
There
they have all at one time or another joined us. And thank you also, guys, for your contributions.
Correct.
We'll be talking to John Collins this week.
Yeah, like JC. I'm a
Everton,
bit worried about
Fulham,
it.
Fulham, Monaco, Celtic.
I know, that's the big problem
Scottish
for me, because I know that when we talk to him, I'll have to mention Celtic are about to win the league, won't I?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, yes. You've
before he
last...
does, because I'll have to steal his thunder.
Yes.
Because I will need to get in there first.
Ukraine match set for May the 31st or June the 1st. That's the good news this week.
Yeah, it had to be. You can't ask Welsh players, Scottish players, Ukrainian players to hang around after when the Premier League in England finishes 22nd. So you can't ask players to hang around for 2-3 weeks.
No.
Trying to keep fit. No.
So, all things being equal, that game gets played and we will find out very shortly after.
You'll
be joining us here in Qatar.
Yeah, Scotland.
And good luck to everybody. It's been a very difficult period for all of
horrendous.
The teams that have been waiting.
Yeah, horrendous.
And
not
and
good.
Holding. Fingers crossed.
Yes.
A couple of headlines. You know I love a headline.
Yeah, you do.
This from the Daily Mirror this week. Absolutely sensational. Just genius.
You like it?
Yeah. Whoever
okay.
came up with this should get a pay rise. After Brentford's win over West Ham United, the headline on the Monday morning was East End Moyes and West End Goals. East End Moyes.
Very good.
Absolutely love that. And
very good.
For Burnley, who we here today have parted company with Sean Dyche, Poison Carrow for them, not Poison Arrow after their defeat at Norwich. And Dyche's gone. And
do you know what? I've only just heard about an hour ago. And I find it unpalatable, is the best thing I could say, that they should do that to somebody who's given them the kind of service that Sean has given them.
It's put them somewhere they would never be without Sean.
I take the opposite view. I'm absolutely delighted for him. I think he's more than given of himself to Burnley. I am pleased that they have cut the cord and he hasn't had to. There will be compensation to come. He'll get a nice rest, Andy.
Now,
choose well, Sean.
He should
when
have
you go
been able
forward.
To see the season out and just go on his own terms.
His record remains intact. He hasn't relegated with them once, but he didn't take
do you honestly think Sean would have wanted to go out like this? No.
I think he'll be. I think he will be enormously relieved and very, very happy when the dust settles. He warned them. He said at the start of the season, without investment, we're going to struggle and maybe go down. He couldn't have done any more.
No.
And so, time's right. Walk away, Sean. Keep your head up and good luck to you. And as I say, choose well with the next one, because I like to think there will be, in fact, I'm certain there will be, a rash of people interested.
That's who they get, though.
Who?
I said Burnley.
No, I'm not bothered about Burnley.
I thought you were talking about
Burnley. No, Sean, I'm talking about.
Sean, well, let's hope so, yeah.
Absolutely not bothered about Burnley.
Too much experience.
They can go their own way.
Too much know-how, Sean, and deserve somewhere else. Definitely.
Yes.
Definitely.
Good luck to him.
Big Sam?
Well, it'll be interesting because the backroom staff have left with him, so there's nobody left. So maybe Rafa?
Take Sam Burnley. Question.
Maybe Rafa?
No.
To end
Rafa?
Maybe. He's available.
No. Rafa's not going to go to Burnley, is he?
Why?
Well, it's not a big enough club for Rafa. In Rafa's head.
And the difference between Burnley and Everton right now is what?
About 5 points.
Yeah. Exactly. So why not? He's been to Newcastle and brought them back out of the Championship. Yeah. He wants work. It's a club that's close by. Now, so
they're not going to be daft enough to appoint Rafa.
Erik ten Hag. That there's a full stop there. Erik ten Hag.
Yeah.
To Manchester United. What do you think?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know enough about him. Keezy, I know his record at Ajax is terrific, but it's Ajax. And I don't say that glibly.
Yeah, you do.
No, I don't, because you still have to do it, even if you're given all the sort of toys in the store, you still got to do it and prove yourself. And he's done particularly well, really well. But I don't know. I mean, you and I, certainly for the last 10 years, and even longer in the early days, we've watched this club, Manchester United, chew people up and spit them out.
The club or the players?
A bit of both, I've got to be. Right now, it's a bit of both. But in the past, even the club has chewed up managers and spat them out at an incredible rate. And since Fergie left, it's just continued to do it. You know, if people like Mourinho and who have hugely experienced, David Moyes, massive experience, you know, these people have gone in there and they haven't been able to hack it. And I don't know if Ten Hag can go in there and do it. I mean, what is he going to be given? 5 years to make it right? Have they got 5 years, United?
They are the one club that has no time.
That's what I'm saying.
They're the one club that needs
to turn it around immediately.
Now, the problem is, and it'd be interesting to hear what John's got to say about it as well, I don't think there's enough talent there. I am nervous for United because I don't think they've got the right man. He's another what I would describe as coach's coach. Can quote the manual. Nagelsmann's another one, but he's getting found out.
He
you know, everything I read about him, they say, he's a stickler for detail. Great. Yeah. Top players don't want detail. They don't want videos in advance of playing against the opposition. Go all the way back to Don Revie, who used to do that and brief players with paperwork before games. But top players don't want that. They want a feel. They
touch and feel.
They want belief. Yeah. They want confidence. And I just don't think a coach of what I am reading about him, has a nervous tic, by the way, says hey, hey a lot, apparently.
They'll jump on that, won't they?
Of course they will. I don't know. See, I, for me, Luis Enrique, wait post-World Cup. Wait. Mm. An individual that would walk in there and players would warm to and say, hey.
Who else?
I would say, you see, people won't have it, but Mancini.
Okay.
Another one that, how many times have we talked this year about coaches like Klopp and Guardiola and then Conte that frighten players and don't take any nonsense? Mancini's one of those. Brendan Rodgers.
Whose season
is coming to an interesting climax.
I can see Brendan.
Against Jose now in the, whatever it is, the conference. But
Brendan
and the outsider. And I was so interested to read the Mail this week. We've been saying on this podcast and on beIN Sports for 3 months since I told you that Ronaldo had said no.
Yeah.
Don't want Conte.
No.
That's why, one of the biggest reasons why.
Conte never went.
Conte didn't go because Ronaldo said, no, I'm not working with him. Mm. Now, the Mail reported that this week. Of course, that means now everybody can agree that indeed happened. Never mind what we have been saying for the last 3 months.
Yeah.
So I just don't know, Andy.
No, I'm not sitting here. I wouldn't sit here. I wouldn't dare because I don't know. As I say, I don't know enough about him, Ten Hag. But I can't sit here and say, if I was a Man United fan, would I be sitting there thinking, we've got the right man? I don't think anyone knows. I don't think they know. I think it's a gamble. I think it's a real punt from United. It really is. Yes, he's done well at Ajax, but does that mean he can bring it into the Premier League and take a giant of a club like Manchester United?
If it's chewed up Van Gaal, if it's chewed up Mourinho, Moisey didn't get time, so we'll never know. If it's chewed up guys of that stature, my goodness, Ralph Rangnick, who came as the answer. Here, there's another one.
There's another one,
Another coach's coach from the manual.
But you don't even think that's a mess. What's Ten Hag going to do? If I'm Eric Ten Hag, I ain't coming into Manchester United and having Ralph Rangnick as my boss.
Absolutely
telling me
not.
What players I can buy.
Well, I think Darren Fletcher's
sell.
The boss. Darren's made this appointment. This is his call more than anybody else's.
Okay.
And already Rangnick saying I was left out of the process. Well, yeah, you were. let me just quote from the Ten Hag playbook.
Yes.
Success kommt de Fürth und geht de Pad.
What?
Which, of course, is Dutch for success comes on foot and leaves on horseback. They might just have
that's going to inspire a lot of players, isn't it?
Eric Cantona in
this. That's going to inspire a lot of players.
The philosophy, attack, attack, attack. Well, Rangnick came with that philosophy and it didn't quite work.
Well, he came with like high-octane football, we were told, Ralph Rangnick. But I think it's been low-octane football.
The demeanour, I'm reading obviously from an article this week in The Telegraph. Demeanour, a less intense Pep Guardiola. A bit of a contrarian by all accounts, but broadly seems modest, a pleasant sort.
Okay.
We'll go with that.
Okay, we'll go with that.
Doesn't come across as a shouter, this
holistic. He'll be a holistic manager.
I would have thought so.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. You won't be allowed, and players won't be allowed to shout at each other either.
Clothes,
I'm pretty sure about that.
Things have certainly evolved, they say here, since arriving for his first day at Ajax, accessorised with a branded suitcase from his former club, FC Utrecht. I bet that didn't go down very well. But he is a young manager who likes his trainers and his casual zippy jumpers. Hoodies, occasionally.
Hoodies?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know how that will go down at Manchester United. No. But I think their fans are just so desperate, Andy.
They are desperate.
They're just... We'll cling to nothing but hope now.
Listen,
that this is the right one.
He might come in, and we don't know. He might come in, have a summer, sort out a few things. He's not going to get 8 out and 8 in in the summer, which is probably what they need, United at least. But he's not going to be able to do that in one transfer window.
Certainly not.
Summer.
If they don't make Europe, the budget's not there.
Yeah, no, he might just get the team playing, and it can be done. Players who are not performing or underperforming, and there are many of them at Manchester United this season, might just find in Ten Hag what they've been looking for. Mm. I don't know. I say might. Am I convinced? No.
Soundbites. Section is called "With tempo that my team is playing at a certain stage, the opponent will feel finished." Well, that doesn't sound like Manchester United either. Mm. Rangnick wanted for that to be so, and it's impossible. With Pogba? Really? That may not play well, they say here, in a league obsessed with prefacing any minor criticism with "no disrespect to." That's you. I don't care is really what you're saying when you preface a sentence about that. I have no superstitions, he says. I believe in my teams and the plan that we have gone through together.
There you go.
So, interesting. Who said this? On Sunday afternoon, we were treated to a feast of football as Liverpool travelled to Manchester City. Two teams, free in their minds, went out there with a game plan. When Atletico Madrid faced a top-level opponent, however, they looked like a team simply hell-bent on stopping the opposition. They rarely go out to win a game for themselves. It's an unhealthy approach.
Who said that?
Martin Keown, who wants to see football played the right way. My memory serves me well. I remember seeing Martin jump all over Ruud van Nistelrooy at Old Trafford after he missed a pen.
Yeah.
He was at Pizzagate.
I mean, he wasn't exactly the most culture centre back. I remember I played with Martin at Villa when he was at Villa.
I was amazed, Andy, to read this, that he's now demanding purity on a football pitch.
Oh, really?
One that he left. I mean, how many players have said, Shearer, one of them, most difficult opponent, Martin Keown. He was terrific.
Yeah.
But
horrible.
But he didn't play the way Manchester City
did. No, he's horrible.
He was
a destroyer.
He was a rash.
A destroyer.
Yeah.
That's what he was.
Yeah, I love this, actually. I was following this fella here on Instagram. Champagne with Scary, top woman. Lovely picture. Doha in the background, glass of champagne.
Was
in
that
the front.
Me?
And then about 10 minutes later,
Wasn't me again, was it?
Lovely night to see Scary Clary.
No, it's funny because
Howl Town Down, whoever he is, responded and says, yeah, lovely, right to see this post again.
Did I do it twice? Yeah. Oh no.
I'm straight. You and
I'm
social,
so good with social media.
It's not really your forte, is it?
It's not my forte.
When I woke up and saw that this morning, I thought, oh, that's brilliant.
I'm not good with that.
Finally, there's been a lot of talk this week about Liverpool's Achilles heel, that they defend too high.
Yes.
City made capital of it.
Yes,
yeah?
We talked about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And whether Klopp should think about defending differently, that Van Dijk is new Baresi, because Milan used to play a little bit like that. Mm. This was an interesting table I saw. Number of times that teams have caught an opponent offside this season in the league. Liverpool, 124. Uh-huh. Manchester City, 76.
Right.
Wolves, 70. So nearly twice as many times.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It obviously works for Liverpool.
Well, it does work for Liverpool. And you can't just... I mean, and in fairness, the first half against City, they did get caught. And we spoke about that on BeIN Sports during the game at half-time. I said to you, and I'd said before the game, the only problem with the high fullbacks they have in particular when they go and vacate their areas is that the teams do try and expose them on those wide areas. They did, City, first half. But in fairness to Liverpool, Richard, they shut that off second half. They closed it down. They weren't as adventurous as the fullbacks in the second half and didn't allow City the type of space to play into in the second half.
You see, this is interesting. The reason I mention it is this stat. I think we all agree that Tottenham is Liverpool's toughest game in the run-in.
Mm, yeah.
Liverpool's hardest remaining fixture, this from James Gearbrandt in the Times, difficult match against Tottenham. No team have conceded more through balls this season than Liverpool. No team have played more since Antonio Conte took over at Tottenham. So I think we can guess how this game's going to play out, can't we?
You'd think so, wouldn't you? It'll be Tottenham defending and then playing through balls in behind the fullbacks.
Yeah.
For Son and others.
So if it is an Achilles heel, then I would have thought that Spurs, more than any other team right now,
well, we'll have a look at that.
Are going to
expose
it.
We will make sure we have a very keen eye on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So much else, but I think we need to introduce our guest to continue the conversation about Europe. He will have loved watching Manchester City make progress.
Yeah,
he is desperate to see Pep Guardiola win a Champions
League. He's a disciple,
Messi.
He's a Pep disciple.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He's a Pep disciple.
If there were a line of disciples, he'd be number one.
He'd be front.
Yeah. John Collins. John, how are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
Right. And before we start, I don't want you having a go at me just because you got a fluky result a couple of weeks ago, right? Don't start.
I won't be having a go at you, don't worry.
Don't you start.
I know you'll be in a good mood. After last night's performance, you'll be buzzing.
Oh, well, I'm buzzing all right, John. I really am buzzing. It was a great performance, to be fair.
Oh, it was outstanding. Outstanding. Played them off the park.
Yeah.
Should have been over by half-time.
Where is that in the league? Where have we gone wrong in the league? I know I'm asking you, a Celtic man, but where have Rangers gone wrong in the league? Just quickly, I know we shouldn't be doing it, but we've got to.
I think the Old Firm games have been critical. Celtic have won more than Rangers. The rest of the games really take care of themselves. It's boiled down to the Old Firm games. Obviously, Celtic Park, Rangers got their tactics wrong big time, didn't they? That off them. But it looks like Van Bronckhorst has learned from that. The last game, Rangers probably certainly didn't deserve to lose it, did they?
When it comes to the Old Firm, John, I've asked some fairly naive questions down the years, and I'm going to again. Are there any Celtic fans that are enjoying this run of Rangers because it's actually making a mark for Scottish football, or do they just want them out, done, beaten, gone?
Done.
I think the majority want them out, done, gone, but I think I'm just being honest. But there's got to be a minority that's is good for Scottish football. Rangers doing so well in Europe, and also from Celtic's point of view, it takes their focus away from maybe the Premier League, and obviously tires them out coming back from big games in Europe. Maybe that's certainly benefited Celtic in the last few months.
Yeah, well, I'm one of those that an interested bystander with
me too.
No real affection for either, but both. if you see what I mean.
Yeah,
depending on who's...
You're a Celtic man, and that's it, Keys. We don't want you. Do you know what he did, John, over the years, right? You know, he kept saying to me, I'm a Rangers fan, I'm a Rangers man. And then when Lee Gordon got the job at Celtic, he turned to me and said, well, I'm a Celtic man now. And then when Wee Gordon went, he says, I'm coming back to Rangers. He says, no, you're not. We don't want you back. You can do one.
He supports the teams at the top of the league, basically. He's one of them, isn't he? A glory hunter.
It's a more... No, it's not glory hunting, John. It's a more mature and open-minded approach to football in Glasgow than obviously the majority who are very clearly one or the other. I was able to share my affection and thoughts.
No, you can't do that if you're in Glasgow. You can't do that in Scotland.
I'm not in Scotland. I'm out... as you jocks say, I'm out with of Scotland, so I'm able to do that, aren't I? I can do that.
Well, you're either one or the other. Come on.
Thank you, John. You're right.
Now, JC, talk to us about Pep Guardiola. Is this the year, do you think?
Well, certainly in a good position. They're playing good football, but let's not make a mistake about it. Jurgen Klopp is a top manager, and he's got a top squad of players as well. I think they're going to battle it out. Well, they are battling it out in all fronts. They're the two best teams in Europe, in my opinion. The strength and depth they've got, the squads, maybe their second team could finish in the top three in the Premier League. Both. And that's the key, having such a strong squad of players. And, of course, a good manager that motivates them. And it's not as easy as people think, motivating multi-millionaire football players, keeping them happy. So many top class players sitting on the bench week in, week out. That's a difficult part of being a manager of Liverpool and Manchester City, I would imagine. If you ask them an honest question, what's the hardest job you've got, and I'll be telling the boys that are not playing this Saturday, they're sitting on the bench. That's a tough one for a manager.
But were you not disappointed to see him sell out and not play the beautiful game, be reduced to fighting Atletico in the manner that they did?
No.
Oh, you were obviously had a couple of bottles of wine when you watched that game.
Well said, we were.
Keep off the booze when you're watching the game. Beautiful football. Hey, they're a top football team, but you know what? Atletico Madrid, they're an absolute pain in the backside to play against.
Yeah.
But they did it. It was ugly towards the end, but the majority of the performance was a typical Pep performance, passing, moving, keeping the ball off the opposition and creating chances.
Presumably, you would defend the right of Atletico to play in the manner that suits them best.
Yeah, that's a choice of a manager, you know, with the group of players he's got. I can't say I enjoy watching him, but no. I admire the results he's had over the years. The results he's produced has been incredible. But if you ask me, do I enjoy watching him? No.
I'm going to play
a brand of football that doesn't entertain a stadium.
Yeah. Let me ask you a question about City.
Hang on. Let me just respond to it. Because I actually think it did. I mean, I know there's a bit like Rangers and Celtic. There's a clear divide here between the enjoyment that we all got from Liverpool against Manchester City, the cuddles that followed between the two coaches, and what actually, for me, was a spicier, better occasion that had us all jumping up and down, especially in the last 10 minutes, at Atletico in midweek. I mean, surely there's got to be a place for that. And arguably, it is more enjoyable.
Well, I'll say, he is a unique manager. What he's done at that football club, the way he's got the fans eating out his hands, the way he starts clapping and the whole stadium follows him, is really incredible. But he loves winning the opposition. He loves playing against the big boys with probably superior talent to him. And what his teams sometimes lack in talent, they make up... 10 times in effort, commitment, aggression, desire. But they cross the line. Make no mistake about it. Every now and again, they cross the line, the word is fair play. But they do anything to win. But do I admire him? I admire what he's done at that football club. But would I have a season ticket there? Probably not.
No, that I know you wouldn't. Well, that's an absolute certainty.
Let me tell you, I would. I really would.
Let me ask you about another question about Guardiola. Wind back to last August, they don't get Harry Kane. Were you thinking, like me, like Arsene Wenger, that they might get found out without a centre forward? Or did you honestly believe that they could do what they've done this year without one?
I think everybody with football knowledge, I think you need a centre forward to finish off the beautiful moves and be in that 6 yard box when the ball comes in. You know what? He built the team, everybody moves. The middle. That doesn't just happen. He doesn't just put a kick together. He does. It must be an unbelievable amount of work in the training pitch, shaping him up. But it's worked. But if you'd ask most managers, really every manager in the world, will you win a league or a cup or a Champions League without a number nine playing week in, week out, an actual number nine that's been there all his life? Then most people would say, no chance, you can't do it. But he's proved definitely he can do it.
Well, so far, let me once again interject. See, I'm watching the other night, and I'm with Messrs. Hullett, De Jong, Gray, and Andy has said all season long, there will come just one moment. I'll give you two examples of that one moment. Harry Kane for Spurs at City, Tottenham win 3-2. Yeah, just one moment. And Benzema the other night. One moment.
Yeah.
And City haven't got that option. And time and again last night, Hullett mentioned it, balls played into the box. No centre forward. These are chances.
No Aguero.
Do you think City might yet regret, John, not having an Aguero, a number nine?
Yeah, I think time will tell. I would love to see them with a Lewandowski or a top number nine in there, banging in the hat-tricks every week. I think everybody would. But he's not found one that he's liked. And that's the hard part. He's at a level, he'll only sign somebody that's very, very special and also can do the other things he likes from his forwards, drop into the middle of the pitch, hold it up, go and press opposition centre-halves and full-backs. So he's looking for the whole package, not just... Benzema wouldn't he play for Manchester City. He's too static. Doesn't he run, doesn't he press? So that if you can't do that, you won't play for Jurgen Klopp or Pep Guardiola. I don't know if he's all agree with me, but that's, in my opinion... He's looking for the whole package. Nice. Somebody that can work, sprint, drop into the hole, and score goals. So there's not too many on this planet.
No, there's not at a cheap price. Maybe Erling Haaland is one that springs to mind. Yeah?
But that's the rumour. I think that looks like it's the one that's going to happen. Again, he's a good age. He's got the legs. He's got the work ethic. He scores the goals, right foot, left foot. He scores the headers, so... I think he would be definitely one that would take City maybe to the next level, if there is a next level.
And he's fairly cheap as well.
Yeah, because he's got the buyout clause. So it's no surprise every top team in the world's after him. So the young man's going to have a nice choice at the end of the season.
John, do you mind if we just talk about Wee John for a little while? He said, when I asked John yesterday to join us, he sent me a picture of him on the first tee.
Really?
First tee is adjacent to Shea Collins, and this beautiful view across the golf course to the sea in the distance. And I'm thinking, this young boy, this wee John, who became one of the silkiest, most velvety of all footballers, John, how did that happen?
Hey, I grew up in a rugby town, Scottish Borders, but my dad was from Glasgow, mad football. So like anybody, if your dad loves football, he takes you to football, he buys you a football as a kid. Lucky enough, I had a big brother. So all through my childhood, no toys, just playing football with my big brother's buddies. Stretched every minute, every time I'm playing, never the best. Playing against bigger, stronger, faster players up until the age of about 12, from about 6 to 12. And I believe that's where I was developed and made as a football player during the formative years. And getting the right messages from father and brothers. And I was lucky. I got an opportunity at a young age, Hibs. I've landed lucky. My manager, Pat Stanton, who played my position very well, gave me a debut at 16. Again, good fortune, arriving the right coach. Some coaches don't give young players a chance. I got the chance at a very young age. If that hadn't happened, who knows? Then obviously, you've got to be lucky with injuries. Throughout my career, I was lucky. Never had any injuries. And the pathway, I got a chance to move to Celtic. Came along, my boyhood club. I fulfilled my dream, 22 years of age. And then obviously, 6 years later, an opportunity to go to Monaco. The first Bosman player in the UK to leave. Again, good fortune, good timing. Followed me throughout my career. Went to Monaco and joined the great team. Played fabulous football.
Yeah.
Won the league. Back to Everton, 30 years of age. I wanted to play in the Premiership. Went back to Andy's team, Everton. Another couple of exciting years there. And finished at Fulham.
It really has been quite a ride, hasn't it? It's an extraordinary, isn't it? Fulham, you haven't mentioned, but you did. Tigana or Wenger? Who did you enjoy playing for most?
Oh, good question.
Well, I never played for Wenger. Tigana signed me. He was a manager at Monaco.
Oh.
So, obviously, it worked. We won a title first year in Monaco. He went to Fulham, phoned me, says they fancy becoming part of my project. Minister Fayed. To take them up in the Championship into the Premiership. I says, yep, let's go for it. Sounds like a...
Okay, so let me ask another question. Do you regret not having had the chance to play for Wenger?
Yeah. Hey, I do. I think Wenger proved he was a top manager. Fabulous at Monaco. Went to Japan and his record at Arsenal speaks for itself. A top manager that his team's always played nice, attractive, attacking football. Good to watch. So I admire him a lot.
Yeah, very much so. I think we all do. And it's a shame that he's not really in a dugout. But on the other hand, John, I like the fact that at his age, with the experience he's now got, he's sitting talking to people at FIFA about footballing matters. We might not all agree with everything that he's suggested of late. Doesn't it make a nice change to have somebody there talking in a manner that actually we can relate to?
Well, I think that's what we all want at the top of organisations, federations, FIFA, UEFA, English. You want ex-players, knowledgeable players in important positions, in rooms, guiding the conversation. So it's football decisions, but made by football people. I'm 100% delighted that Arsene's there.
Where are we at the moment, John? I always like to ask when somebody, we get somebody in, it's the career that you've had and the longevity in the game. How is football? How do you see it right now? Are we in a good place, the game?
I think football's in a very good place. I'll start with Scotland. Celtic and Rangers are playing excellent football. Really, really good football. Nice to see week in, week out. Ball on the deck, knocking it about, creating chances, scoring goals. English Premiership, I mean, I don't think we've seen, certainly I don't know, my time, Liverpool, and I've been down to Anfield a few times. I've got a friend who's got tickets in the boardroom there, so I've been down to Anfield a few times this year. I mean, it's absolutely rocking. It's excellent, high tempo football. Man City's outstanding. Manchester United have got a bit of catching up. That's a big challenge, whoever's taken over that club. And people keep saying the manager's fault, I mean, Solskjaer and then this manager. The reality for me is, not one Man United player would get in Liverpool's team or Manchester City's team. So a manager's not going to, he's not got a wand. He's not going to go up against those two in a season and beat them. Yeah, Manchester has got a lot of recruiting to do, in my opinion. So that's a project. That's not a 1, 2, or 3, I don't think. I think it's a 5-year deal. Manchester United fans will not like me saying that.
They'll be pleased to hear you say that, United. It's a 5-year gig.
Well, it is. He's right. There is no quick fix. And this is what they've got. One of the many things they've had wrong. They keep thinking there is, and it's just not the case. John, are you happy now with your TV work? Are you done with football from the inside?
Yeah, probably. Just a little bit of media work. I enjoy watching football, commentating football. I mean, it's part of my life, so... keeps me busy, keeps me active. I do a little bit of coach education, so that keeps me busy as well.
And the handicap?
7.8.
Are you using the driver yet? Are you using the driver?
I'm firing it right down the middle.
Are you? Well done. See, all those years ago, you were only hitting that wee 3-wood off the tee. Yeah.
I'm up next to you now, 300 yards.
You're about 150 further than me, John.
Hey, I would say 200.
JC, great to see you. Honestly, really good of you to join us. Been brilliant to catch up. Keep smiling. Look after yourself.
Cheers, fella. Cheers, John.
Cheers, guys. Always a pleasure.
Cheers, John.
Mate. Have a good one. Bye.
Thanks again to John. He's always a listen.
Good
night. Pint pot, 5 foot nothing, wonderfully influential on a football pitch and a really, really nice guy.
Unreal career.
Fabulous career.
Unreal.
Fabulous career.
Highlighted with his stay at Everton, of course, obviously.
Well, obviously not, because he preferred to leave Everton and go and play in the second division at Fulham.
We had finished with him.
Had you?
We had taken the best
had
from
you really?
Him, and we offered him a way out.
That's about it for this week. Thank you for your company. Don't forget, as I said right at the start, tell your mates where we are. You can get in touch with us on the social media at Keys and Grey Pod, A-N-D, spell it out, Keys and Grey Pod, and we're available on both Instagram and Twitter. We will speak with you next week, and
next week,
thank
guys.
You for all of your kind comments. Watch this space. We're only going to get bigger and better in the coming weeks.
Excellent.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc. Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.